to Multiplayer, your weekly dose of video game related news, and where you get to see the degradation of our friendship in real time. For better or for worse, I am your host, Guillermo Dorado, and on my left are my co-hosts. We have Zach Matskanis, the man with the mane.
What up?
And we have Javier Ortiz, my main man.
Hell yeah.
I do pick favorites. Didn't think you knew that.
Yeah. It's why we're not friends.
Nah, you know, it's done. I just want to say first, guys, if you're watching this on YouTube and you ever feel your eyes starting to get a little strained on those blue lights, well, why don't you go ahead and plug in those headphones and check out our podcast that you can actually hear on iTunes and Google Play. And if you are actually listening to this podcast, well, guys, you're on the go. Why don't you just take a seat, kick your feet up, and watch the YouTube portion of this channel by going to youtube.com/multiplayer. And of course, guys, if you want to help out the show, make it bigger and better as it possibly can be, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/multiplayer. That's the fifth time I've done that. patreon.com/multiplayer, where you can go ahead and donate a few dollars and get some extra content just from there. The more you donate, the higher the incentives get, and it helps everybody out, and we love you for it. But if you don't have the cash, or if you are just new to the show and you want to get a free taste, well, you can absolutely do that with all of our free content on our podcast and through YouTube. But, guys.
Yes?
It's time to start the show.
Let's get it going.
Let's do it.
It's time to get real sexy and talk about some video games, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're sitting nice and crazy. People on podcasts don't know what's going on. The lights are starting to dim. We're starting to bring out some Hennessy and touch each other.
No, I'm
because we're going to talk about Destiny 2.
Oh, baby. Ooh, tell me about
James
it.
James Brown. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Destiny 2.
No. Yeah, no. We talked about the beta last week. Mm-hmm. It was last week, right? That was that episode. Great. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the beta was just about to come out. We actually got our hands on the open beta. That happened last weekend. And I want to talk a little bit about, guys, we had some speculations. We had seen the trailers. We saw all the news, all the updates and stuff like that. But now we actually got to play the game. And now we get to tell these beautiful, beautiful people what we thought about it.
It was it was great. I won't go first because I've got...
Underwhelming.
I mean, well, here's the thing. I'm so not experienced with Destiny. I didn't play the first one.
Well, you're not experienced in general. But...
No, I'm not. I'm clearly the youngest one here.
Ouch.
But no, I never played the first Destiny, so I went into this kind of, you know, not knowing what to expect. I know that it's very RPG-ish,
sure.
But it's first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing with FPS games, I've always been kind of meh about it. I've never been an FPS guy. There are a few FPS games that I really enjoy, and I really had high hopes for Destiny 2, because... You know, I heard a lot of good things about the first one, and I know you really liked it, too.
Yeah. We'll get to me in a little bit.
But I thought, in terms of just online play, it was pretty fun. But, again, I just, a lot of problem with this, with a lot of FPS games, I thought it was very similar to FPS games. Mm-hmm. But, again, my comments mean nothing, because I never played the first one, so I really don't know much about it. So this is my first experience.
Well, you know, but that's why, like, I want to talk to you two specifically about this, because you... Are you going in this completely blind? And yes, this is a beta, so you do have to go in it with the mindset like this isn't the finished product, but it is pretty close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have some problems with the beta. We'll get into that in a little bit, but that's why I wanted to talk to you guys. So you don't really know much about Destiny, and you're not a big fan of FPS shooters. But what I want to know is what FPS shooters reminded you of Destiny 2, or vice versa. Like, which ones are you talking about?
Well, FPS games in general, because a lot of this, from what I saw, was a lot of machine gun play.
Yeah.
To me, there wasn't too much of, like, variety in, like, the guns and the weapons you have. And in terms of, like, special abilities and stuff, I was kind of underwhelmed. I picked the Warlock class, and I was really expecting more, you know, variety with the Warlock, because it sounded like mage-ish, like, you know, some sort of special powers.
Sure.
There was Hunter and I think Titan.
Titan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into Warlock because I was like, all right, this one sounds like it'll probably be the most fun, because, you know, Titan and Hunter seem very much like gun people.
Yeah.
Warlock seemed like a non-gun person.
Sure.
So I thought it'd be kind of different, but it just felt more the same, and I was expecting more like, what are my special powers?
Because you went into this expecting Overwatch.
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily Overwatch.
You already said yes. You can't go back.
Okay. Well, not necessarily Overwatch, but just something variety. Like, mm-hmm. that's my biggest thing. That's why I have a big gripe with FPS in general, is just I want variety, and it's, I always feel like I don't get enough of it.
Well, I do think that this FPS in particular does have a little bit more variety than, say, a Call of Duty. I don't know why. I know, like, they have a whole heapload of loadouts and different, like, guns you can get, and you can have your different perks and abilities and stuff like that, but for some reason, it just kind of, like, all blurs together. It just all seems like this, like, monotonous, like, gray kind of spectrum for,
yeah.
But it seems just a little bit more emphasized and varied in Destiny, at least in my opinion. We have our mascot. podcast listeners, we have a kitty here on set.
Multiplayer cat.
He's the cutest cat ever. Its name is Ness.
It's a girl.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I didn't want to, like, get the sex wrong. It's a creature.
You always get the sex wrong.
Ooh. Are you been talking to my exes? You always get the sex wrong. You mean you don't use a toothbrush in this situation? What are you doing? Sorry, guys, I'm regressing. No, yeah, I don't know what I was saying before the cat jumped into this this scenario. Well,
but, like, just going back to what I was saying.
Oh, variety.
Yeah, I just wanted, like, at one point when I was playing the beta, during, like, the story part of it, there's a...
Arguably its weakest link, I think, still.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed interesting. Like, it seems like a cool world, and it's like, what's going on? It seemed really badass, because there's, like, explosions and giant ships, and the set pieces were really nice. But there was a moment where, I forget the character's name, but she was the black woman, and she had, like, psychic power or something. I forget her name.
It's such an I.
Icona?
Yeah, I think it's Icona.
That's Icona Valley.
Like that.
That's Zelda, but...
no, it should be Icona. If it's not, it should be.
Yeah, but I saw her at one point, and she...
Akora.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, so at one point, she jumps on a ship, and she's like, no, it's not happening today, you fuckers. And she, like, blasts it down with these powers, and I'm like, right on. Why can't I do that?
I will say this. The voice acting for that specific scene is so underwhelming, because she's literally jumping from, like, this clifftop onto a ship, but she's like, not today. I will stop this. I'm like, you're in mid-flight. You know, like, you should be like, yeah! You know, like,
she's my
what is
animal.
This? Just even chill. Yeah, it's not like Cora, it's Javier. Like, that's what... Jeez. All right, so we've heard enough of him. What have you said? What do you think about
this? Shut up, Javier. Okay. It's my turn. So, you know, I got to say I was a little underwhelmed. You know, I...
Two for two so far.
Yeah, you know, So I went into this, obviously, I didn't play the first game. Mm-hmm. And
this,
I went in...
I'll keep going, sorry.
I went into this with some expectations, like, you know, because I know when the first game came out, you know, a lot of people were sort of underwhelmed. Like, oh, man, this is Bungie's first huge game before, mm-hmm. After Halo. But, you know, but a lot of people were overwhelmed. Yeah. Sorry.
That's what the table was missing.
Podcast listeners, you're missing out. There's a beautiful, sexy cat just chilling now.
I told you, they're missing out the Hennessy. They're missing the whole... Yeah. They're going to get to this and be like, this is not what's happening. They're lying to me.
But anyway, so... you know, a lot of people were underwhelmed with the first one when it first came out, but once the DLC started hitting, a lot of people started like, oh, yeah, this
is
great.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So, and I, you know, I feel like I sort of missed the bandwagon with the first one, so I never went back to jump into it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll pick it up when the second game comes in. Mm-hmm. And with this beta, I went in with some high expectations, and... You know, like I said, I was just kind of underwhelmed. Like, I saw the, you know, you kind of have your opening intro kind of thing with
the
story.
And
I was just like, everybody here seems a little bland. You know, everybody's like, I don't know. There was just nothing there. And, you know, and Bungie and I guess Activision as well has talked about how this will be like a good... a jumping off point for people that didn't play the first game. But mm-hmm. I jumped in, I was like, I don't know who any of these characters are,
Here's the thing. They say it's a good jumping point for new players because the story is organized in a way that you start from square one. So,
right.
Like, you know, if you didn't play the first game, you know, people were afraid that, like, oh, is my character going to be able to transfer over from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2? And they're like, well, no, because we want to be inclusive. And I think they're having... the ability now for PC players to play with console players online now too. So they want everyone to start from scratch and have that like kind of like common zero ground.
Yeah, so
and that's
and I'm sure that's mostly what they were talking about, but I was hoping I could sort of come in on the story side of things as well and sort of know what was going on, but I was just like, I don't know who these characters are, I don't know why I would care. It was just, I don't know.
Well, honestly, if you played the first game, you still kind of feel that way. Because, like, that was the biggest, you know, the biggest problem with that first game was this. There was really no story. It was just a series of, like, loading screens that had narration to this mission, which was, like, loosely tied around a story, but mainly you're just going through these beautiful landscapes, like on Venus or Mars or on the planet, or on the moon, and you're just shooting down loads and loads of enemies. Right. And you're basically, like, just testing out the new guns, you know?
Yeah. crazy cat.
You got a fly in the house.
Kitty, what are you chasing?
So, like, that was the biggest thing. That and then Peter Dinklage's, vocal performance.
I heard, a lot of people complaining about that.
Yeah, and that was my biggest gripe about the first game, too, because, like, yes, I had the expectation going in, like, Bungie, you know, hadn't failed me yet. I was a huge Halo fan up until the third, you know, or up to the third one. When Bungie was still behind the helm. So I was, like, really excited to see this new IP. It had, like, a really nice, unique kind of situation where it was an RPG kind of style. You know, it's been done before, like, with Borderlands and whatnot, but it just... I was excited to see how Bungie was going to do it. Right. And it looked like they were putting it more in the D&D kind of setting. Like, they were having, like, their version of orcs and their versions of, you know, those classic D&D characters and stuff like that.
They call, like, the Cabal. Is that what they're called?
They're called the Cabal. Cabal. Okay, they're the main enemy in the second one. They are the people of Mars, I think, like the war race of Mars.
Okay.
Or at least that's where you meet them in the first game. So there wasn't really much of a story, and that was very underwhelming for me because that's why I wanted to play the game in the first place. I will reiterate this 1,000 times over on the show, but, like, I'm much more of a single player.
Yeah, story driven.
And I think that's probably all three of us.
Yeah.
Right. And so in that kind of context, yes, the game didn't really deliver. However, I played through the story mode on the first Destiny. I finished it, and I felt no reason to continue playing because I wasn't playing live at the time. I had an Xbox, and but. So I put it down. I never owned it. But then it was actually, this is going to Mick actually, because we were talking about music before the show started, and his question was, has a video game ever used Led Zeppelin? And funny enough, the reason I wanted to play the new DLC for Destiny, the Rise of the Taken King, or the Taken King, was because they had that amazing live-action trailer with the Immigrant Song. Whew, it was so good. And it was like a really badass trailer. Yeah. I was like, I have to get this game. And when I did, they had done a little bit of revamping for the story.
Right.
They introduced a whole new section of the game. And then I kind of like got sucked into like, oh, I'm going to try to now get, like, once the story's all finished, I want to get the best armor and the best weapons, exotic weapons like that. So it became, if I'm going to be using Nick's term, a grinding game. Where you're just grinding through millions and millions of, like, these things.
Right.
But that, like, when he said that phrase, it didn't dawn on me that that game is a grinding game because I was invested enough in the story to somewhat. So I wasn't, like, really paying attention just because, I mean, that's every game. Like, Halo, I guess you could say is a grinding game, too, in a sense. I mean, you're not grinding for, like, equipment and stuff like that like you are in Destiny, but I get it. But having played the second Destiny, yes, they added cinematics, but there's still that, like, it's still pretty flat. I feel like it falls flat. And I think... my playthrough of the first story mission that they have, like, opening the beta, would have been better or improved if I could choose the difficulty setting.
Right.
Because I just looked, I was just like this god mode, which I think is the point, because you are supposed to be, like, this all-powerful whatever. But you just mow down everybody, and I'm like, well, I didn't die once, and it wasn't challenging, and this is not very fun. However, you go into the competitive side of it, the online play, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I started to really enjoy myself when we started doing these quick matches.
I mean, you were killing it earlier.
Thank you.
when we were playing online. But that's the thing. Like,
remember that get good Guillermo? He got good.
I just, for a moment. I hope that...
more like got lucky.
I hope they don't, like a lot of problems in today's world when it comes to gaming, I hope they don't just dedicate all their love to the online experience.
Like, I agree with it completely.
You know, I would like some love towards... Aw, Kitty.
I know. I really love it.
I'd like love... you know, made towards the single player. Well, I mean, not even necessarily single player, but whatever the story-driven campaign is.
It's so funny to hear you say that, though, because you love Overwatch.
Well, but there's a big difference between when it comes to FPS games, I always say that Overwatch is the most unique because no one character is the same, and the play style of every character is different. You don't know, like, every single character is different, their weapons are different, you can't, like, change loadouts and stuff. They are who they are. You know, some people can freeze people, some people can only heal. So
it's that hero style of...
Exactly, like, yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
And, but that's why I like, you know, when it comes to those type of games, I love individuality with characters. Mm-hmm. I love having characters, they're special, they're unique. Like, you know, when you look at a game, you know, you pick Overwatch, and you have your Mercy, who's the healer, of course. You know, there's no character like that. Mm-hmm. You need that.
They have multiple. Mm-hmm. They have multiple healers, but they're all they have their
exactly.
own niche,
and they're all different. And that's yeah. and the thing about that game. And when we were playing online for Destiny, what I noticed that the big difference between Overwatch is that you need it is straight up. You need a team, and by that I mean you need role players. You need sure. people to do different things.
Yeah.
And what I saw there was, you know, a bunch of people running around with machine guns, throwing knives.
To be fair, it does, you know, have a lot of similarities in terms of online play with Call of Duty and those kind of games. I think that the genre that it's picked and the way that it's doing it is unique enough for me to enjoy.
And that's totally fine.
Yeah, right. I agree with you though. Yeah, like, it is just a bunch of people running around shooting each other.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
I
totally preface everything I say with, I have never played the first Destiny. This was my first experience with Destiny.
You can have vehement opinions on the show. Like, that's totally fine.
No, I know. I
like to be lukewarm with what I say.
No, it's not that. It's that, this is coming from a person who has a couple hours experience.
No, yeah. I feel
and
you.
And I'm
yeah.
sure people who
it's
have...
It's actually nice being modest like that. That's,
well, because, you know, I don't want to shit on a game when I've only played it for a couple hours. Yeah. I'm sure there's a ton more to experience that I clearly did not. Mm-hmm. This is only a beta.
It's true.
So, yeah. I mean, there's a ton
but
more.
You did point out a huge flaw with the beta.
I did?
Yeah, well...
What'd I say?
You remember. I'm not telling you now.
Make me sound smart. What'd I say?
You pointed out that, I mean, it's a beta. I mean, and you kind of agreed to this as soon as he said it. You're like, yeah, absolutely. But the whole point is you have these three classes you can choose from. You can choose your Titan, your Warlock, and your Hunter. And in the game, it's just like, you know, in World of Warcraft, you pick your race, or like in Elder Scrolls, it's not like Overwatch.
Like an RPG.
Is your character, and you're going to bring him to maximum level as you possibly can, right? What you point out, though, is that this is a beta, so you should have the availability and the freedom to switch out between those three.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially people who haven't played. I mean, you
yeah,
don't
I want
know
the
how
full experience.
Yeah.
Like, make me want to buy this game by letting me try everything.
At least try it easily, because it's like if you switch classes, you at least what I was told is you have to kind of. Play through that whole kind of single player opening again.
This essentially the tutorial of the game.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's
I don't want to do all that.
Yeah, and it's like I wanted to try it.
It was too much.
Because I was playing with somebody that was like, oh yeah, the Warlock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, oh yeah, Warlock is the best class. You drop those shields and it's like
no, it's not.
Somebody I was playing with was saying that, and I was like, oh cool, I'd like to try that. Can I just switch it out in the menu? And they're like, oh no, you have to kind of play through that tutorial again. I was like, well, I'm not gonna go and
choice.
Do all that again. So I just didn't.
And what they want you to do is you can have multiple save files on one game, like
right.
So you can like switch between your characters. But I never did that with the first Destiny. I got my Hunter class because he's got, like, you know, the sniper gunslinger type, which is like one of my favorites. But I picked that class and I was like, oh, I want to try out the Titan or the Warlock, because I see the Titans bring out that, you know, hammer of doom, and you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, you have to start the complete game over, start from scratch, and play the whole story mode, you know, like grind again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess I'm never gonna play as a Titan. Like, I don't want to deal with that.
It's too much commitment. Like,
yeah.
You just don't want to go through all that.
But and, you know, just kind of talking on the kind of competitive side of things with that, you know, but I think one of my biggest reasons I was underwhelmed was because of my experience with Overwatch. It's like I've found myself now just comparing everything, like at least, you know, online multiplayer stuff. I'm just comparing it to Overwatch now.
Yeah.
And this is one of those games where I'm like, well, it's fine, I guess, but... It's not Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Overwatch is
your standard has been set so high.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Kitty. Man, this cat is really loving today.
Yeah, my cat's going a little crazy. but anyway, so, you know, I just... gosh, damn cat.
Yeah. No, I understand. Your bar is set very high. The competitive didn't really meet that bar for you.
Yeah, you know, I think the... Because, you know, like, everybody in that game, like, all your characters, they're all wearing masks, and none of them speak, and
that was the beta. I mean, like, you have a lot of options to customize and stuff with your character. Like, you can find these really awesome different, like, armor sets.
Right,
and stuff
oh,
like
totally,
that,
so. But it's like, Something like Overwatch is just, I mean, it's just so dynamic. Oozing with character. Just yeah. Oozing. And it's like, you get into a, you get into Destiny.
You say that. I just want to shower.
Just,
it secretes character.
But you get into Destiny, at least what I've played so far. And it's like, I don't know this Guardian that I'm playing as. I don't know who he is. I don't know why I would care. Mm-hmm. He doesn't speak. He doesn't have a face. It's yeah. like, I just don't care. But it's like, with Overwatch, you can just dive into those backstories for days and look at, like, who those characters are, why they're there. Doesn't matter that there's not even a single-player mode in that game. It's just those characters are, I mean, there's just oozy, pussy.
Just moist. Rancid, disgusting.
Just, I mean, it's just rancid.
Pulsating boils about to burst. Anyways.
With care.
Character.
Bottom line. All right, so then, are you going to buy this game? Like, that's bottom line. We've talked about it. We talked a little bit about gameplay. I hope people watching or listening know what the hell Destiny is at some point. But it's Bungie's the, you know, it's a new IP for Bungie. They created Halo, probably late to start introing the game. Yeah. But it's a AAA title. You should know about it by now. Absolutely. If you don't, I'm sorry. But okay, we talked about it. You got your opinions out. You told the problems, what the pros and cons were.
Yeah.
Starting with Hav, are you going to buy this game?
Yes, I am. Even after everything I said, like, I want to play it just because, again, Mike.
Because you play with me on it.
Well, no. But
okay.
We're not playing with
you. We're not friends. God.
No. Okay.
No, but my experience with FPS, you know, since I've never been a big fan of it, and I've heard such, you know, it has such a big following, you know, I want to experience it, and I want to experience more of it, because, like we were talking about, it's so limited in the beta, like you can only pick one class and you know, that's all you get to do. So I'd like to experience more with it, and I want to see what all these characters are capable of doing, what all the classes are like, and I want to see what type of variety it offers, because I know it has some.
It like, does get very addictive. Like I took a break from it, but like once I took that like couple month break from Destiny 1, I jumped back in. I was sucked
and
in.
And when
like,
I was really does, it does, when I played good. The beta, there were some aspects I really liked. Like there was one gun that shot like lightning, but it would like automatically recharge and like it would like shoot lightning at other bad guys that were next to them. So I thought that was really badass. And I was like, I like this gun a lot. Give me more like this. I want more variety.
You're so tame with your opinion. I like this gun.
I did like
it. It electrocuted 1,000 people.
Let me tell you, it was fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. I loved it. So I'm gonna sound like Zach. It was so awesome.
That was a pretty good impression. Okay,
it's my
moving
talent.
On to Zach. Zach, are you gonna buy this game?
Not anytime soon, anyways. Really? Once the game comes out, maybe if like some DLC comes out that really flesh out the story a lot more, and there's some cool stuff there. Maybe we'll see though. As of right now, I'm just not sold on it.
Right.
I would rather just continue to play Overwatch.
Yeah, I need to still need to get that game. I think
you do.
Okay.
Sorry,
hey,
really do though.
Why don't
I appreciate
you go
the
apology.
Yeah, well, I am. I just need to have a moment to like learn how to play that game because I played with you guys and I was like overwhelmed. It's just so much. I do think that I'm gonna buy Destiny. It's not gonna be like as soon as it comes out, my first purchase. But like, I am gonna get to it. And especially like Javier, if you get it, like I will be looking forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, I mean, you just said you didn't want to, but
no, we can.
I'm open to the idea.
It depends on if I'm in a good mood that day, but yeah, we totally can.
No, we can. It's okay, buddy. Don't cry.
No, I am hoping that like most games, when there's DLC that comes out down the line, that they make a disc that has some DLC already included.
They did that with Destiny twice, which was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
That's when I actually bought the game for the first time, was when they did the Taken King and they had the other one, something of the Wolves.
Yeah, so if they do that, I would probably get it at that time when it has some more stuff in it that's, you know, just to mess around with.
Cool. All right, well, we're going to move on to another beta that we got to play recently as well. We did talk about Splatoon 2 last week, but now the game has been released. I believe it was released on the 21st.
Yeah.
And there is some backlash. The game itself, a lot of fun. Everyone is having a great time with it. It's getting really good reviews all around. The biggest problem with it is its online voice chat system.
It's Nintendo, man.
So
Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't do it.
They released an app called Splatnet, specifically alongside Splatoon 2. And
well, the app's just their Switch app, but there's Splatnet within that app.
Sure. Okay, gotcha.
This is Appception. Like, what?
I don't like any of this. Already confusing.
It's just like, you know,
it's,
you know, the whole idea is like within the kind of the Switch, you know, voice app.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to these different hubs or, you know, channels or whatever you want to call it for like different games once they come out. So like Splatnet is, you know, Splatoon's.
Sure. So like for anybody who doesn't have a Switch or doesn't know how like this whole online play for Nintendo is really working out, on PlayStation, on PlayStation Plus, and then you have Xbox Live, it's pretty much really simple to, you know, find friends, invite them within Xbox Live or within the console's built-in live app, if you will, to create parties and create party chats, you know, or chat rooms for your friends to just come in and privately chat together. And to play games very seamlessly and easily, even to the point where you can just like have a chat with somebody while they're playing a different game and you're playing another one.
Can't stress how easy it is on those.
It's so simple.
You could accidentally make friends.
You could just trip over your controller and suddenly you're in a voice chat with all your friends. Yeah. It's a good time.
The best part is you could just plug in some headphones and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So now with Nintendo, because they are a very family-centered, like, you know, video game company, they're trying to make it safe for kids, for all ages that play. Because, you know, a lot of their fan base for Nintendo is younger kids. Yeah. We know that from all the heinous and terrible commercials for the Wii U. But so now they have this app, which is kind of like essentially this firewall, if you will. And there's so many different obstacles in order to get a friend online. So, like, each console itself has, or each profile, when you make a profile on the console, the Switch, you get this about 8-digit friend code that you have to give.
It's 12.
Yeah, it might be 12.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount of numbers, And then you have to then share that friend code via your social, like, media, like something completely unrelated to Nintendo, like Facebook or whatever, or like text your buddy your friend code. You can't send it directly on your console. You won't find that other console unless you have their friend code, which is really annoying right then and there from the get-go. Then they have this app where it's trying to, you know, bridge that gap, you know, so now you have your friends list, you know, after you've like hunted down the 1,000-digit codes, and you can now create your parties and like do that. Except you can't. You can't make parties. You cannot create parties. You cannot create chat rooms unless you are specifically in that game's lobby. Like you know, like this certain battle mode on Splatoon, you have to be in that lobby. And then even then, someone else has to join in before you can start talking to them. You can't just send an invite to somebody. It's just ridiculous. So like it's
kind of
it's counterintuitive.
It's a mess.
Yeah, Nintendo's always been like, you know, one step forward, and it feels like 12 steps back sometimes. At least when it comes to their online infrastructure.
Yes. Because they're trying it out. And like, you know, you pointed this out though, it's just so easy to look at the foundation of these other, like, you know, Microsoft and Sony. Like, you can do that, but they're just trying so hard to continue to be this like family friendly and safe thing. Yeah. So now it's getting a huge backlash with the Splatnet thing, and that's, we haven't even touched upon like how difficult it is, like the amount of wires and cables to just put your headset on.
It's like a human centipede of
you're tangled
it's
webs.
It's just ass to mouth all over the place, and they're supposed to be a family-friendly company, but they're showing me these things.
I don't know what they're selling.
Yeah.
I just thought of something gross. I think that's how they should try and advertise it. It's like, this is our ass-to-mouth connectivity.
that would be the kings of left field for you. Like, what? Did they just say A to M in their campaign? So, I mean, yeah, but, you know, going back, now that the game is out, are you guys going to, even it has these, like, these flaws with the online situation, you still can jump into quick matches and play, you know, if you're not looking to just sit down with friends and stuff like that.
That's the thing. Like, you take the competitiveness out of it because you can't really form a team with your friends because
it's not easy.
Yeah, not easily you can. Like, and it's just, you know, and then you got to worry about the actual headset setup to, if you actually want to talk to people, which is even worse, which is another thing you have to buy.
So then a hard no.
I mean, I want to say yes because it's kind of fun. It's different, but it's just like, it's so, it's, you know, if you want to play it just to play it, Yeah, you can totally get it. But sure. if you really like the competitive scene of it, then it's just such a hassle if you want to be competitive in it.
It's so weird because they want you, I mean, this console is specifically designed to take it on the go into your friend's house and like play with your friends, but then it's like weirdly counterproductive to that message.
And they really want to get into the competitive scene, like with ARMS and stuff. Yeah, they've been trying hard. I mean, Splatoon.
They've been trying really hard with the, like that message. They've been really beating that drum. Like with E3 when we went, it's like they were having Splatoon 2
and every episode. By the way,
you know, with like
in
case you didn't know,
I forgot.
But you know, with like Splatoon 2 and ARMS and Pokken Tournament, they've really been beating that drum of like the competitive scene. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if they really want to try and push that a lot with something like Splatoon 2, you gotta make it easy for me to get online with my team and play. Yeah. And it's just way too difficult.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to get into something like Overwatch and play with the people I want to play with.
Sure.
Yeah.
And guess what? Like, most of those people that I play with on Overwatch, I met through other games online on my PS4.
Because you don't actually have like friends in real life.
No, I don't have any friends. Right. I play video games. But it's just like, I have like such a great community of people I play with online now on my PS4 because I either met them on there or on my PS3 and have just friended them and have talked to them over time, and it's like such a great community.
There's like a lot of camaraderie like built in that. So when you go to a new game, it's very easy to just like put it in play.
It's like,
you don't have that,
It's like I'll talk to them like, "Oh, what game are you going to be buying soon? Oh, wow, you're going to be buying that? Well, maybe we can play together."
You just touched upon a really good point. I mean, that's word to mouth right there of people saying games. That's a good point. I mean, like, I don't think that Nintendo's really putting that into mind. They're putting so much emphasis on, like, rehashing all their old systems because they might be now rumored to do a mini
64
classic. Yeah. It's like, okay, great, I'm excited. I still have my 64, though. Yeah. Like, why? What are you going to do, like, the mini GameCube classic? Like, we're just going to release all, like, okay. I mean, you know, though, like, what is the point? we're all happy because we're steeped in the nostalgia of Nintendo, but stop shitting in our mouths. You know, like, telling us it's new.
You've mentioned this before, I think it might have been last week, and you said it earlier, where, like, they're trying to focus on, you know, their younger audience because Nintendo's always been very family-friendly. At the same time, I would say, like, 70% confident in that most of Nintendo's audience is like us. Like grew up with it.
Yeah.
So like, stop babying us and stop trying to make it so damn hard for me to play online with my buddies. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to play online with people and meet people.
Yeah,
and,
that's the thing. It's it's that minority that ruins it for the majority. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, I just want to get online.
That's a hard stance you're taking. Is that rude? Anything else? No, I'm just kidding.
Privilege.
I'm kidding.
We'll just let that pass. it's just one of those things that's like, it's not Nintendo's job.
No, for sure. Completely agree.
It's just like, it's the parents' job. If there's so many kids that are like,
if you buy your kid at age 11 a freaking smartphone, you've already failed a little bit. Like, now the blackness of the internet is at their fingertips now. You know, like, no matter what you do, they're still gonna get.
Yeah.
And then their friends. I mean, like, you know, I was shown Two Girls One Cup in like middle school. I didn't look for it, but my friend was like, "Have you seen this video?" And I was like, "What is it?" You know, like, it was like terrible. So it's just gonna happen. It's not, you know, like, it's just there's no avoiding it at this day and age.
Nintendo just needs to just get over it because, I mean, it's just one of those things. I don't even know what it's like to be like a 10-year-old kid nowadays. It's just like,
that's a really sad thing to say.
You can get online, like, you could just you have your iPhone, and it's like, you know what? I just want to look up some nasty, 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 nasty porn, and you just pull it up 10 seconds.
Yeah, www.com nasty, 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 nasty porn.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
Quadruple NP.
You're just sitting in third grade, fourth grade, sitting in class. You're just looking at some.
Well, I mean, that's always been a thing. Like, we're straying far off of video games.
We're not diving too far into like the sociological aspects of technology and youth today, but you know, it's not their job.
It's relevant.
Stop trying to babysit these kids. We're your main audience. Give us what we want. And what we want is to be able to plug in goddamn headphones into my Switch and just play with people that I know.
Yeah.
Or just through a Bluetooth connection. Yeah. Jeez, so, how is there not a Bluetooth connection through my Switch?
Your console has Bluetooth in it with your Joy-Cons.
Yeah. It's just
Nintendo.
It's pretty insane.
Right?
Like, I should.
Yeah. And the well, and the worst part, you know, like one more thing, just to harp on this bandwagon.
Yeah. We haven't beaten
like
it to death yet.
Like the last thing, and we talked about it last week, was that. You know, when the three of us tried to play Splatoon online,
it was a nightmare.
The beta, we couldn't because we needed one more person.
Yeah,
like we weren't even able to play, you know, together and just add a random, like, you know, like stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, well, now I need to have at least three people with a Switch that I know, who I know personally because I have to give them my friend code.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well. Yeah. What's the point? Like, I'm not meeting anybody.
I have to get my friend code.
It's so funny.
Dumb fucking friend code.
It's so funny how Nintendo, they make some things really, really smart and simplistic and clean. And mm-hmm. It's just like, hey, here's that thing. Click on it. You're there. Done. And then they make things so overly complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the stuff that they're really silent about, where they really don't talk about it.
No, not at all.
Where it's just like, I didn't know that you had to four people to jump into a Splatoon match to play together. It's like
you need a full team if you want to play the game with your friends.
You have to just find that stuff out the hard way. Mm-hmm. Or like they were like so silent about their headset situation.
Yeah.
Like they didn't talk about that.
They didn't mention it once.
They knew it was gonna be a disaster. So that's essentially the backlash that is happening with Splatoon 2 right now. Again, the game is doing very well, and we had a fun time playing the beta, even though we had those problems.
Yeah.
And I think I am gonna pick up the game personally. I do want to because it is a very unique game, and I'm like you in Splatoon. I am to Splatoon as you guys are to Destiny. I didn't play the first one, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you like that analogy?
That makes sense.
approved. So getting my hands wet for the first time with all the paint and stuff on 2, it was a lot of fun. So I think I am. It did sell me on that front, but now they just got. Hopefully, they'll make a patch or something to fix that problem, or just get smart, you know, and they'll do it. But
I will at some point. I'm definitely gonna pick it up just because I want to play through the single player, and I want to go through their Salmon Run.
Yeah, and that looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
And hopefully that's something like we can. All
that's like their story mode, essentially, right?
No, they have a story mode, and then they have.
Oh, it's like their like wave of enemy mode, or like
Outlast.
Yeah,
it's sort of like a horde mode.
Horde mode. Thank you.
But I mean, I love the first Splatoon, and playing the second one, it feels like the first in a lot of ways, obviously, and. I definitely just want to play more of that, but it's something where it's instead of buying it on day one, I'm just gonna pick it up at some point.
What about you, Huff? You gonna get it?
At some point, but not anytime soon. Oh. Like I want to, and I know last week I said I'll buy it. I just not yet. I like with all the problems and you know when that's a game again where if you don't care about competitive, and you just want to play it. Yeah, I'll get it eventually.
Nice. All right, well, I mean, we've talked about some really AAA titles here. I want to very briefly touch upon this rumor that, a game that is finally starting to, like, see the light of day. I want to briefly touch upon that and then go into another thing. But at D23, which is, like, pretty much the expo for, like, Disney, all things Disney, Kingdom Hearts 3 made an appearance. They had a new gameplay trailer, which, I mean, it revealed that one of the worlds that they're going to be playing in is Toy Story, which looks great. It was all in Japanese. I wonder if they're actually going to get like the voice actors of like you know Tim Allen and Tom Hanks and stuff actually voice Woody and Buzz. But that released, and so I think you know, is there a release date attached to it now? Like there's a
2018.
Yeah, they just said 2018.
That's it. But who knows if that's true?
But this has been a thing since like 2008, right? It's been 10 years in the making. This is almost becoming
a
Last Guardian situation.
I think it's been longer than that.
Because I think the first one came out in 2006.
No, you're right. You're right. It was like 2005.
Yeah, I think it's like 12-ish years.
It's been a long time.
How long was Last Guardian when Blue Dot? Was it Blue Dot? Is that the what's the name of that place? Blue Point, that game company.
I couldn't tell you.
All right,
I don't know how long. It's been a long time though.
Video games.
For the Last Guardian,
Shadow Colossus.
That's Sony Japan.
Sony Japan. How long was that a thing for?
That was 10-ish years.
10-ish years. Yeah. So now, like, Kingdom Hearts is like that now, apparently.
Yeah.
So
it's
we're
just
starting
a lot
to see
Japanese
some gameplay.
Games,
yeah.
For some reason, it's like
it's looking pretty.
The Last
dope,
Guardian.
Though.
It was Final Fantasy 15. It was Kingdom Hearts 3. Where it's just like they need to put these games out. Like Naughty Dog has made like four just
amazing
masterpiece games.
Yeah.
In the time that you guys haven't made one game.
Well, that's the thing. Like Kingdom Hearts, as much, I personally it's a fun game. Like, I think the first two are pretty fun. I still love the first one the most. I think it's super different.
God, that Ansem fight at the end. I think, yeah, speaking of bosses, that made me almost, like, cry of anger and, like, break my controller. Yeah.
Oh, it was Sephiroth for me. Fighting Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts? Oh, my God.
You know what the worst part about that fucking game is? Sorry, everybody. I'm going to go on a tangent. The worst part about Kingdom Hearts 1 is when you die at a boss, you have to watch the cutscene leading up to that boss, and you cannot skip it. Yeah. I can recite for you guys the entirety of all the cinematics that fall or lead up to the Cerberus fight in the Hercules world.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was tough.
I hate that level so much.
But
God!
It's definitely always the worst when you can't skip a cutscene after you've seen it like that. 1,000 times. It's like, come on, developers, please let me.
But you know what? But
this,
then we bitch about, like, give us consequences when we die, and then that's the consequence. Like, stop doing this to us, you know?
It's like torture of the mind.
It's like, it's literally like psychological torture at that point. You know, like when they blasted like Guns N' Roses, like, you know? Oh Jesus. But yeah, so Kingdom Hearts 3 is now, it's going to be coming out. They have been...
Supposedly.
They've been showing a lot of gameplay footage. Like before, they have. Before this year, we were only getting things like these really weird and like cryptic teaser trailers, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now we're getting this like actual, like really awesome set piece action gameplay. And I think it's gonna be really badass. And I mean, that's pretty much all we can really talk about it at this point, because it's just steeped in stipulation at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like more Kingdom Hearts, and you know, that's a fun game. It's not bad. It's just,
you're like, calm down.
For me, honestly, like, as much fun as Kingdom Hearts is, I think it's just a franchise that needs to die. I really do. It needs to die.
Javier is getting some opinions now.
No, I mean, in the way that, like, I also think Assassin's Creed needs to die.
Well, that definitely needs to
like,
die.
But, like, it's just... Mick is
shaking his head.
But
no!
Like, Kingdom Hearts is like, okay, I get it. It's been, like, 10 years, and you've been talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 while releasing...
A bunch
of spin-offs and a bunch of remakes and a bunch of titles that make no sense with the prologue, final chapter, enough. Like, I get it. It's Kingdom Hearts. I don't even know what the story's about anymore. All I know is that Mickey Mouse is in it, and he's got a sword, and you could play with Donald and Goofy. A Keyblade, and there were the Keyblade Wars, so it's starting to sound like Star Wars. And it's so just ridiculous, which, by the way, they should do a crossover Star Wars, because now that it's Disney.
I think they better.
I mean...
Screw this, you know, going and talking about video... Like, get this all squared away in my head first.
You got it.
I'm going to stop focusing on video games on the show now. I'm just going to start focusing on topics that I think are going to rile you up. Because I want to see you get mad on this show. Like, I'm seeing a semblance of it here. Like, when you want to see him just, like, blow up one time?
It takes a bit to get me upset, but...
We'll find it.
Flip this table over. Yeah.
Enough!
Punch my cat
It needs
right
to
now.
Die!
but seriously, like, how many more spinoff titles are you going to give me before you just give me the last game? Yeah. Or at least this sequel that we've been talking about for years. Like, enough!
I think you might get it. I think you might get it. It's hopefully going to come out.
But do I even want it now?
I don't know. Jeez, stop yelling at me. Okay, so yes. Speaking of franchises that need to die, we have all these triple... Speaking of franchises that need to die, the Ortiz family name. No, I'm just kidding.
We will never die.
No, we have all these AAA title games that are like, they keep coming out, they keep getting pumped out. We have like Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, Halo franchise that are all just taking up all this space and all this publicity away from a very, it's starting to get more tapped, more, not saturated, but a more widespread, widely known a widely known facet of the industry, which is the indie game industry. But it's just so kind of hindered by all these AAA titles and these franchises, you know, Battlefronts and all these things, that it's not really getting too much of the light of day. And I want to touch upon, have you been playing any indie games? What do you think about the indie game industry as it is now? I mean, do you feel like it is something that's starting to kind of grow from the ground up, or is still being suppressed by all these mainstream titles?
Well, you're riled up. You want to start?
No, you're so chill today, Zach.
Like, I mean, I don't think it's suppressed at all, just because as long as you have, like, Xbox Live Gold memberships and PS4 Plus, and you get games for free, a lot of times you get indie games. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember one of my favorite indie games that came out, it was a couple years ago, it was called Rogue Legacy, and it was free, and, like, it's Metroidvania style, and it's RPG-ish, and it's just a ton of fun, and it's like sprite based, so it looks really nice. Mm-hmm. And you know, games like that are just, they suck hours, you know, out of you, and they're just really fun. And I don't think they're being shadowed at all. I mean, Because you can get them now for like $10 on the store if you never downloaded in the first place.
True.
And like another game that Zach showed me once called Towerfall Ascension. So much fun. And like it's 8-bit style, it's beautiful.
So
and then you know, the little game called Shovel Knight, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean that's one of those games that has kind of, you know, Cave Story, Shovel Knight. I remember back in the day Castle Crashers when that came out, that was a huge deal and that was so much fun. But, you know, there are still, like, it's a huge, huge library of all these indie games. Of course, not all of them are great, just like, you know, these AAA titles and these third-party titles, too. But I think that it's just something that a lot of, unless you have a Steam account, a lot of gamers aren't really tapping into. I feel like it's a very underplayed and underappreciated kind of facet of the video game industry when there's such a plethora of original content and, like, different ways of playing a game.
Yeah, I would definitely say indies are a lot more overshadowed on consoles. So I feel like, PCs, and I hate to kind of generalize the console player, the typical console player, but I feel like a lot of those people are like, they play, and I know a lot of these people, where they just play two or three games a year, and it's just like Call of Duty and one or two other
things. Yeah, these people play Overwatch.
I mean, a lot of these people I know, they won't even play Overwatch. Like, oh, it looks like a cartoon. I need some Call of Duty and Mountain Dew.
That's annoying.
But they would never touch an indie game ever.
I know some people that won't play fantasy games because they're like, and it's kind of sociopathic the way they say it, but they're like, I want to, like, you know, kill things that, like, are real.
That are real.
Yeah, like, I want killing orcs that have blue blood. Like, what does that even mean?
I'm like,
that
is,
that's a little, yeah, exactly. It's like,
I want to kill human beings.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was a child, they used to torture small animals. I want to do that in a digital, like, reference now. No, but yeah, I completely agree. Like, people are just like, you know, that bro mentality sometimes. Not everybody, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely like, you know, like Steam has made things so cheap and easy.
Yeah.
Like, I know so many people, they just have this enormous library of games where it's like, there'll be a Steam sale, and you'll get, you know, a game for 49 cents or just something just insane. And the other thing, there's stuff like Humble Bundles and stuff like that are always like, I mean,
Bumble Hundles, those are really fun, too.
The what?
Bumble Hundles.
Bumble Hundles?
And Stumble Bumbles.
Ah, nice.
And Bumble Bees.
It's a good addition to the conversation. But, you know,
say D's?
Bees. Oh, Bumble Bees.
Oh. The old Bumble D's.
Wow, I was just laughing because you spoke.
But, you know, there's so many easy, cheap ways of getting indie games on a PC.
Mm-hmm. Stealing them.
Yeah, you know, just
going into someone's house, taking their hard drive.
Their PC.
Yeah.
Oh.
But,
the cops are here!
Quick, Mick, fix our light.
Oh.
Our podcast listeners are just getting such a good show this week.
They are.
Not seeing all the of this.
So visit youtube.com/multiplayer.
but anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, like personally, I love indie games because it's like, it's just more games. You know, it's just, you can't have too many games.
Term.
And they're always different.
Yeah. And it's, there are certain games like,
they take chances. They have the ability, because since they're a much smaller budget, they have the ability to take a lot more chances in terms of how they tell a story or how they teach gameplay. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really appreciate about indie games. You know, it really tests the limits. And so we do have to wrap up the show. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I know, this is...
Just one more thing.
Yeah, okay, all right. So, I'm not going to cut you off.
Okay, so
just
two things. One, I think console gamers don't get enough exposure to the indie games simply because the marketing isn't there for indie games.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't have the budget for that.
Agreed.
But because of, like, PS Plus and stuff, and I said that already, that they get, you know, they can free download them for free. But Xbox, like their E3, you know, looking at games like Cuphead, The Artist Escape,
Strange, the other one,
the Strange Night, or what's it called, Last Night. Mm-hmm. Last Night, like games like that, you know, when they show them off at E3, they look fantastic, and that's, I don't care what kind of gamer you are, if you see that, you're like, that looks beautiful and I want to play that.
It's
game.
True. Cuphead is
like the art style is amazing, so that's gorgeous. Something, you know, if you really do appreciate video games as an art form, indie games are beautiful because you get so much variety in terms of what stuff looks
very
like
true.
You know, games from Journey, which are, you know, fully 3D rendered, to Towerfall Ascension, which is 8-bit, and it's still 4:3 aspect ratio. So it's like, they're all super different and they're all super fun. So
yeah, I mean,
so
Sorry, man.
We do
have to end
wrap
this.
It up. Yeah, yeah. Wrap
no,
it
but
up.
I am going to throw one more question to you guys before we send it. So we've been talking about, you know, we're telling our listeners and our viewers that, you know, there is this whole untapped market of indie games if you guys want to play some really wholly original things. So before we end the show, what are some recommendations that you guys have? I'm going to start with Zach since you've been, I just cut you off a second ago.
So, I mean, on the indie scene, some of my favorite games in the last probably, 10 years, really, is, I mean, Shovel Knight is phenomenal. And it's on so many consoles now. You can get that for Switch.
And Switch, yeah.
You know, PS4. I mean, it's everywhere. Yacht Club just killed it with that game. If you're like a Mega Man fan or anything like that, that game is awesome. Mm-hmm. Towerfall Ascension is up there as one of my favorite games in the last 10 years.
These are all sprite-based games that you're talking about.
Okay. I mean, phenomenal game. And I also, like, I was a big fan of Hotline Miami. Mm-hmm. Like, that game is so good.
I have not played that one yet, too. I want to.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I definitely want to give a shout-out, to things like, PS Plus, Xbox Live Gold, things like Humble Bundle and Steam sales. You can get some of these games for free.
I mean, I know right now.
Filthy cheap.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like Towerfall and I think, did I get Shovel Knight for free?
If you did, that's amazing.
I do know that the PlayStation Store is having an 80% off sale right now on a whole crap ton of games. So you could buy some really good ones for like about $4. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good ones.
Sweet. So Javier, what are some of your suggestions?
So, like I said earlier, Rogue Legacy, I think, is just so much fun, and there's so much variety in that game, and it never gets old to me. I mean, if we're talking about new games coming out, the ones I just said, Artist Escape, Cuphead, The Last Night, those all look great. And another game, I don't know if this counts, I guess it does. It was on the PS3, though. It was called Double Dragon Neon. It's a remake of, like, the old Double Dragon, but, like, it's totally over the top and fun, and like the dialogue in it is hilarious, and it's a really fun game, you can have a blast because it's two player, just like the old Double Dragon, and it's so much fun. I know it's not current gen, and I don't think it's on the PSN store because I tried to actually bring it over to my PS4 from my PS3, couldn't do it.
They just put a whole like 500 games from PS3 and 4. Yeah, they just did.
So maybe you could find it. Game.
It's all in the PlayStation Plus store. They just vamped 500 games from the PS3 onward.
Well, so, if that game is there, I love that game.
Who
so
developed
much.
That? Do you remember?
No.
Yeah. Follow-up question.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Spotlight.
Although I have the smartphone, I could look it up really quick.
Let's leave it a mystery.
Whatever.
I'm
gonna look it up.
For myself, I would definitely recommend. I just picked up an indie game called Goner, Gonner, on the Switch, and it's an amazing game if you're looking for like jumping into something blind. It definitely like takes a lot of treats you as an intelligent gamer. It lets you figure things out. You know, it's simple enough that you can kind of jump in and kind of like get your feet wet with what's going on. But like it gives you no backstory. It gives you no information as to what items that you're using are until you use them. So it like forces you to like kind of test things out and like learn your own strategy and like figure things out. So it's like steeped in this mystery. It's a lot of fun. I found myself getting really sucked into it because I still don't even know what the story's about. Like you have to go through it for a little bit.
Nice.
But it's just gives you enough to keep you intrigued and like engaged. So Goner for the Switch. You can also get that for on PC and on Xbox, not PlayStation yet. Some other ones that are great, you know, Shovel Knight, that's our time. Shovel Knight, Castle Crashers, like I mentioned before, it's an older game, but they have an HD remake. It's a lot of fun. We Happy Few is an interesting one, kind of like a Bioshock dystopian.
But that's not officially out yet,
it
right?
It is, yeah, just, it came out.
Wait, I thought 2016. It was still just like a beta thing.
It did, but I think it extended. Now it's to like, it might still be beta, but it's almost like finished at this point.
Yeah, I think it's just in like, you know, with a lot of those kind of games, it's in one of those like just sort of open-ended betas where you can sort of jump in and play.
Yeah.
It,
but, Unravel is great. Ori's Blind Forest, that's for Xbox. But I'm still new. I'm just now wanting to get more into the indie game scene as well. So I hope to bring to the show a little bit more discussion about indie games. Next episode or next week. I think we're gonna dive a little bit more. I'm gonna make it a point for our homework to play some more indie games if we have the time. So
you wanna pay for it?
So everybody
donate to that Patreon.
But that is the end of the show, guys. Thank you for sticking around.
One more thing about Double Dragon Neon. All right, it's WayForward Technologies. That was the dev, And fuck IGN, they gave it a 3 out of 10. That game deserves way more praise. That game is fucking awesome. That's it.
Done. Okay, cool. Well, that is our show. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. Whether if you were listening to this on our podcast or watch this on our YouTube, check out the other opposite one that you were seeing the show on. Please, again, visit our Patreon if you want to help this show grow and help us play more video games that we can talk about, you know.
Yeah.
And you can also follow us on our social media. You can find me at Twitter, at Masdorado, and on Instagram, at Guillermo_Dorado. You can find Zach Matzganis.
I am at Zach Matzganis, ZACKMATZGANIS.
But everyone's going to have that jingle in their head. Javier?
I'm on Twitter at MultiplayerHav, just multiplayer and then JAV.
Perfect. You can follow Multiplayer at GoMultiplayer on Instagram and on Twitter. You can also find Mick, our cameraman, which we're going to have more segments later on with him involved, as along with Nathan. You can find them on Twitter at Mick2TheWood. And at Multiplayer Nath, the fan favorite.
You can also find my cat on the table. Yeah.
We also like to especially thank DJ Cutman for supplying the music. Seriously, guys, check him out at djcutman.com for any more like really awesome chiptune and 8-bit music. I believe we covered everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Perfect. Nice. So, guys, stick around next week. We'll have some more stuff to talk about. But until then, keep grinding, and we'll see you at the respawn.
We love you.
Later, guys.
On behalf of Multiplayer, Mario would like to send a special thank you to Jaden Lawrence, Arturo Mendera, Merchadan Kroll Pitaru, and Mario Dorado. Thank you so much for watching.